today about, and the work that she does in a volunteer capacity in at the State Library with these cards, preserving something that was very important in certain periods of time. Still argues greatly, I know, but I think perhaps in the past people did love women, but Shirley's going to tell us all about that. So thank you, the floor is yours and welcome.
Inviting me. And I had a look at the museum and it's really beautiful, very impressed with it. So congratulations to the people that put it, re-exhibited the whole lot. It really looks beautiful. When Valda said, it was Barb that phoned me and said, could I speak about what I do at the State Library. I said, I don't do a lot. I just go in there one day a week and help look after the picture collection, postcard collection. I must say it's an activity that I enjoy it so much, it doesn't seem like work anyway. About 30 years ago, I began to collect postcards because my mother and my sister became interested and I couldn't resist them when they brought them home. And my mother collected handshakes. I think there were some there, hands crossed the two, which were very nostalgic to her. And then I started going to card fairs, and one day I met Christine Downer, who's the curator of the picture collection, the librarian, and she said, we have a lot of postcards in the library and we wondered if you'd be interested in coming in and sorting them out. And they were in shoe boxes and in happy old albums that were falling apart. So I went in there and I was amazed at the number. There were thousands of postcards of all sorts. And the State Library's idea was to, the State Library of Victoria, and they collect only things applicable to Victoria, particularly topographical stuff. So I sorted it all out, and we now have this wonderful collection. There's over 70,000 postcards there, and so I guess in one way and another I've handled just about all of those 70,000 postcards. The George Rose Postcard Company, you've probably all seen George Rose postcards. The company's been about for over 100 years. In fact, their 100th anniversary was in 1980. And they gave us thousands of glass negatives. And they were not accessible because they were so fragile and there was no way of using them because they were only the negatives. But with a donation from the Meyer Foundation, money was given for all of the images in the State Library's postcode collection, including the glass negatives, to go onto video disc. And now, unfortunately, Norman Meyer and his wife were killed in the interim, but this was going on, but luckily the money continued until we were finished the task. So now you can go into the library and sit down in front of a computer and look at any of those. And the negatives, the glass negatives, were captured as a negative and then polarised, and they appear on the screen as a black and white, so that you can go in at any time and see these just by typing in. If you want the Rhone railway crossing, for instance, that's one that they've been asked for lately because of the change to the railway crossing. We were able to turn up something like 5 different photographs on postcards of railway crossing. I really don't know where to go next with this, but there are large collections in the library. They are either donated or acquired through people donating money, and large collections are bought. So we have collections. I've brought along a list of what stuff we have here. And if you use this information, you can go in there and sit down in front of the computer and take yourself right back to Mitchell or Croydon or wherever you want to go. Has anyone been in to see the new library, the History Centre? No one's been in? Well, it's really worth... Yeah. It comes? Well, it's really worth going and having a look at it. It's super high tech. There's just banks of computers, it's beautiful carpet on the floor, comfortable armchairs to sit in front of the computer. And you'll get a lot of help from the staff there as to how to access and operate the computers. And it's on the internet as well. So that you could really sit down in, I think now, in Nunawading Library. Are they on the internet now? Yes, no. No, they're not. Are they? Pardon? VicNet, yes, yes. Well, you can access the images in the State Library that way. We've been given very large collections, and some of them were in perhaps 20 very fragile albums. And the library's way of doing things is not to change anything, just to try and conserve it. But the paper that the postcards were on was so fragile, you'd handle it and it would break. So then began a course of looking at various materials that were non-toxic that we could put postcards in. So after a lot of trouble, which I think Barbara was asking me a couple of years ago, we have found something that is chemically stable and suitable to put the postcards in. So we now have the something like, I think we're up to 180 albums now of postcards, each holding a considerable amount. There's not a great deal I can tell you much more about what I do there. When someone comes in and wants a particular image, they now find it. Once upon a time we'd go to the shelf and pull down things and it's just all very manual, but now they just use the computer. So we don't see so many people, not like we used to. You all know that the museum, the library building in which the museum was housed, also the Pooley Heritage Trust, the library is going to take that back. The museum is already packed up and moved out, so those areas are empty, and the Pooley Heritage Trust have their own building in Longchester, and they're moving down to there. So they will be gone and we'll have all this extra space. And the things that I've brought along will show the plan and where you will find things. Has anyone been to the museum, well, at least the library it is now, and seen the work that's going on there in the front? You have, yes. Well, they're redoing the whole forecourt, and it hopefully will be really lovely, and there will be a coffee shop there, and nice restrooms. It will be hugely upgraded. The other thing I can talk to you about is the museum and the library have got a donor system whereby if you gave the library something which is a fair sort of value or a large collection, you are able to use that, the value of that, as the tax incentive. You get a tax reduction if you give them a $10,000 item, be it postcard, painting, whatever, then you can say, well, I've got a big tax bill this year, can I have a tax deduction on the value of this material? And they, depending on what it is and how much it's worth, they will give you a tax deduction. And we get a lot of donations that way. And about 6 years ago, I applied for and was given the job as a Commonwealth Government Valuer for the tax incentive. So now I value postcards and paper for that material that comes in, and I tell them how much it's worth. They get a second valuer into New South Wales, and then they strike a figure between the two, and you might get, I think it's around about 40% consideration on your tax for that particular year. So if you've got a really big tax bill, that's how to do it. There's in this main building in the library, because it's now all the State Library of Victoria, there is a genealogy centre, an Australiana centre, which holds just about everything about the state of Victoria. There's a new newspaper section and a new exhibition centre. And the art library, I'm sure most of you have been to the Queen Paul and seen the art library there, which is one of Australia's best art libraries. There are copies of art books and really from the 1850s. There's a huge collection of theatre memorabilia. I was surprised to go into it only recently. It's a room about as big as this, and it's stacked full of programs from art shows, programs from theatres. It's a program section, and it's tiny programs up to huge ones of all live shows, theatres, everything. But that's a restricted one. If you wanted to look at that, you have to get permission to go. So some of the stuff is extremely valuable. They had a program from, what was her name, Lola Montez, but she disappeared and they don't know, someone walked off with it. So since then it's extremely well guarded. I don't think there's anything else that I can tell you, except just to talk to you about postcards themselves. There's a few publications now coming out. I'll put them along here. That's from the collection. And the library just published this one recently, just the last couple of weeks, using the images that we've got. That's all about the gardens of the city, which I was amazed at the amount of images we had of the gardens from their inception. I brought along my own postcards of this area, of the Dandenong, etc. So I'd like you to have a look at those. And modern cards, that was the other thing I was going to show you. These are available now as modern cars. The Sydney 2000 for the Olympic Games. It's a special stop in the city, in Melbourne Central, that's selling all of these cars. But to collect a full set of those, I think, would be running out of money very quickly. They're quite expensive, but they're lovely. Has anyone heard of Avant Card? Free cards. A great idea. People put their advertising on these and they give them away. So it's racks are up at the universities, it's racks in the state libraries, and people come along and they just covers everything you could think of. Some people collect just the coated ones, that his hands off where he's from. And you can write a letter to the Prime Minister, you can write to Mr. Kenneth, you can write to whoever you like on these postcards because they've been printed as photos along with advertising as well. So, are there any questions I can answer because I'm quickly running out of what I do there and about collecting? Yes, they are. That's what I forgot to bring with the dates of next year's card fees. But if anyone is interested in seeing how it works, and Barbara's been along, she was fascinated, I hope. But there's stores, people have postcards for sale. Phil comes along and helps us. I have a store there sometimes, and you can just browse around and you can buy a postcard for as low as 20 cents or as high as $100, depending on what your destination that it is. I can tell you, I concentrate on Australian cards, on Victorian topographical, but I get a bit hooked on other things. Now, as I said, my mother was into hand-to-hand food, and you can have a look at those later. This is an interesting one down here because it is a black and a white hand, and it's dated, I think, 1880-something, from South Africa. So people were into reconciliation, at least some people were in those days. Hands Across the Sea was extremely popular because many of the people were migrants and they had families still living in England, brothers and sisters and parents. And the messages on these are so heartrending at times, and some of the messages on the front and on the back, like Mother Misses Her Dear Boy and You Are So Far Away, really quite sad. And but today that would be considered choppy and not quite acceptable. But they were, the artwork was beautiful. As many as 7 colours would be, a lot of those are lithostone prints. And if you note, there's some here with little metal, a metal lion and a metal kangaroo facing hands, hands across the sea. No, they're not. You pay probably, there's still quite a few about, you pay probably for the cheapest of them, $1 or $2, for the dearest up to $20 or thereabouts. The quality of them has a lot to do with it. They're all cheap. That's just a sort of idea of the wide scope that you can have. My particular liking is the children's illustrations, and that's a particular English illustrator who I haven't found any work of hers that hasn't got the theme of from dusk to dawn. There's a moon or there's twilight in every one of them. I've never seen anything in full sunlight, but I don't know why she did that, but she illustrated a lot of children's books as well. And another thing that is quite valuable are those. They were published at the turn of the century and a little earlier, and people went on the tour, the grand tour. Australians would go on the grand tour, the British would go on the grand tour, and they would send back postcards from the area, and Thomas Cook was the person who sold them their tickets, sold them the package deal. He was the beginner of the tourist trade. So they even had Australian ones, which were quite expensive. They would be probably $100 each. No, unless it's a very unusual stamp, because stamps were, they didn't change much. You had 20 Victoria stamps of a halfpence and one penny, and that went on for countless years. So there'd have to be something really unique in a stamp or a postmark that would give it value. The value lays in the fact that it's been being early and the type of material that was used to print. And the scarcity, rarity of them, there weren't many published. Any other questions about postcards themselves? Well, that's the same. These modern ones, yes, they do collect. Not really. Modern cards, if they're a specific subject, either a event, that's what I was saying, these a particular event. Some people collect protest cards like that. It's another interesting protest card that was the Sea of Hand outside Parliament in Canberra, with the Tory and the passport woman, and they've been recognised. And I see this hand protest is now being used in other fields apart from the reconciliation. But yes. And that's the Sea of Hands that were painted on the lawn. So those sort of cards would be interesting in the future, because they are an indication of how things were at this year and how it was. But there's one for David Telscott, and there's a pianist. That's right, they did too. Yes, so I don't know that there was a postcard put out for that, because the Avant cards are fairly new. Now, here's an amusing one. Telecom put this out. Telstra. Well, I'll pass it around. I'm not quite sure. I didn't win something. A tour that it certainly the full Monty, designed to make you really look. I'll pass those around anyway if anyone wants to look at them. The only training I was given was how to handle things in the way a conservator does, the way a librarian does. But apart from that, I was left my own devices to do that X amount of work each week. Really, I keep a journal. In fact, there's three of us work here now as volunteers, and we keep a journal with what we do. And so that our supervisor just goes and looks at the journal, even if she's not there, and knows what we're doing and where to find our material. But it is very enjoyable, and the staff are marvellous. They're really very helpful. And we have our morning and afternoon tea and lunch with them. When the public are looking. Well, that's why I have a store at the card booth, so that I know the going rate of things. A thing is only worth what someone's prepared to pay for it, and so you make it kind of guess. And now Norman Lindsay, you couldn't buy a Norman Lindsay for under $150, $200, but Norman Lindsays are not that valuable today. I suppose most of you know the paper, the bulletin. Well, the bulletin had a wonderful school, a wonderful group of artists working for them. In the days before television and radio, the only way to get messages across was by using cartoons, and the bulletin was the great one on doing general things in the public eye to people via the cartoon illustration. So the bulletin then decided that they had this Bill May and Norman Lindsay brothers, Tom Burke, and they said, we'll be producing the postcards, and they produced sets of postcards which are probably our Rolls-Royce postcards. The printing was high quality, the artwork was extremely good, and because they're famous, they were famous in their own right. They were more famous than Eddie McGuire and what's his name? Sam, yeah. But they had the same effect on people talking about things in the public eye. So everyone rushed by the bulletin, postcards with all these funny cartoons on them. So they are expensive. Australian comics. Now, we're having an exhibition. The library has recently acquired another collection. Eve Pryor is one of our volunteers, and Eve collected Australian comics for many years, comics on postcards. Just a lot of the seaside things that say, wish you were here, and that lady in the seaside. But the difference was she collected only Australian issues, Australian illustrators, Australian street cards. And because of their nature, they were very ephemeral. Very few paper was used. Sometimes the artwork was really dreadful, and most people threw them away. But Eve picked them up in tacky condition or wherever she could lay a hand on them. And the library recently acquired her collection of 400 or 500 comic cards, and in January, on the 16th, they're opening an exhibition at the State Library of the East Side collection of comic Australian cards. So if anyone would like to go and look at it, worthwhile seeing it, and go to the Queen's Hall, which is the art library there. Yes, I must say, I just picked those up when I was in there yesterday, day before yesterday, and I said, I'll take that one along because they were the full Monty, as someone said. Well, there's a shop called Sports Capital, and it sells anything to do with sports in the way of memorabilia. So there are hats and armbands and loads of postcards of all sorts of things, the various footballers, cricketers, and of course the Olympic Games. But they're about $1.50, I think, but they're really beautifully done. Anyway, that's about all I can tell you, but I'll open up the albums and you'll see your own district on postcards. And I brought along some reference books. Oh, there's the latest issue of the State Library Victorian News. I need that one back, but there's National Trust books if anyone who's interested, they can have those. So there's a couple of National Trust books here. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you raised that. Yes, very much so, particularly during the First World War. There's some wonderful messages from soldiers who were away for as long as 4 years, never got home in all that time. The Australians were the furthest afield. Even the Canadians could get home, but the Australians never got home unless they were badly injured and were repatriated home. So there's some wonderful messages sent the soldiers in the trenches back to their families. So now we do keep those in the State Library, and it also is a great indication of what the postal system was in those days, because a lot of the postcards say, I'll be around for afternoon tea today, things like that, or I can't come to my music lesson this afternoon, it's cancelled. So that's how well the postman worked in those days. Oh, for those days. Yes, yeah, so the written on side is important as well. Now there's things here, unfortunately I couldn't get to the what's on at the State Library beyond December, because it comes out the last week of December. But take them home and read them. All about what we have at the library. Well, you mean as far as the general public catching or the preservation side? Yes, well that's interesting too, because they have done a lot of research on the quality of the material, the boxes they use. Cardboard boxes are out with a sort of foam, extremely light foam, which is now used. They had specially designed boxes for the glass negatives because there were thousands of those, and they were in wooden boxes, and they've now designed this box which takes 12 slides at a time, each entirely separate from one another, and we get the packing, but they try dropping them, practically broken ones, I must say, from a large height, or ones that were no good, and until they got them, they could be dropped as far as 6 foot high to the floor and none were broken. And it does take up a lot more space, that's the only problem, but everything's uniform. There's no white tape now. Once upon a time, like a legal office, everything in the State Library was tied up with white tape, folders and things of that nature. Well, now everything has a little ring form, which locks the boxes. And now with computer, there's a lot less public access to the material, because a lot of stuff was stolen and damaged over the years, pages torn out and things like that. Well, even the newspapers now are only on video or not There's a lot of advances being made in conservation. Well, they're kept in a hard plastic type cover, which is very hard, and the pages themselves, I didn't bring any, but they're very light of this nature and can be seen through on both sides. So in each one, they're not housed back to back now, they're housed individually so that you can read what's on the back, because a lot of the information is on the back. We put it on by hand. And we don't have to make this like we used to. So, and we have five girls working full time, feeding things into the computer, and they become extremely knowledgeable on particular subjects, and they get to handle some of the most wonderful things. They have books on illustrations made when the first chips came out. These books have come to England, we started from England, of the insects, birds and animals of Victoria, illustrated by the botanist on the ship. And these books have come here and they're cataloguing those. So they'll be accessible through colour video as well. And the other thing that we're doing is we're intending, this is the first of the books published of the holdings, so that you'll be able to buy books on nature and flora and fauna. Anyway, I think that's just about enough on my work in the state library. But please help yourself to any of these bits of paper. I don't want them back. Yes. Yes, can I open the albums up? I'll put these around here. Am I unwired now? Oh. Thank you very much. Oh, really,
I
lovely. Yes. Oh, well, I'm not the only one, they are. Been worth it, and I've seen things that no one else has seen. It's lovely.
thank you
very much. Yes, well, that was very remiss of me not to bring them. Yeah. Well, we'd welcome you. Still would welcome you when you come in. The Manresa Hall in Hawthorne, and there's five a year. They're on a Sunday. There's one in February, April, June, August or September. Yeah, depending. Yeah. And December.
I'm not having